Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. Are you still listening? Good. Take a deep breath. You needed a break. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. So, yes, you can literally stream a stream. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.
With a little love and some tenderness, we'll walk upon the water, we'll rise above the mist. With a little peace and some harmony, we'll take the world together, we'll take them by the hand.
It is the final hour. Welcome back inside the Gamecocks, the show powered by Electric Bikes of Charleston, electricbikescharleston.com. All week long, it'll be in the 80s. If you'd like to be in the 80s and cruising up to 28 miles per hour, electricbikescharleston.com is where you can go to find your next bike. They've got every brand. They've got the best service. They can prove that. The best warranties, I can prove that as well. And service is more than just being in the store. It's also being outside of the store. Down the road, if something happens, you can call Michelle and her team at Electric Bikes of Charleston. They're going to take care of it. And they serve people everywhere, not just in the Lowcountry, but all across the great state of South Carolina. Charleston Fitness Equipment is located within those same walls, and they've got everything as well. If it's getting pretty late, if you really wanted to tone up before the summer, you better get a move on it. But they've got everything you need in there to do that. Home gyms, free weights, whatever. Charleston Fitness Equipment, Electric Bikes with Charleston, proud supporters of the University of South Carolina, proud supporters of our program, and the Garnet Trust. A couple of quick notes here to lead off hour three. Congratulations to Clint Haggard, who has long been the athletic trainer at the University of South Carolina for their football program. Clint has been named the best in the country. The Intercollegiate Council for Sports Medicine has named him the National Head Athletic Trainer of the Year. So congratulations to a great dude, Clint Haggard, for what he does for South Carolina. And then if you missed it last night in Memphis, the final game of the year for the Grizzlies, who were awful, but G.G. Jackson sure wasn't. 17 of 36 from the floor in 44 minutes. They gave up 126 points as it's kind of the norm in the NBA today. Defense is a thing of the past. They lost, but 12 boards, one assist, one block, 44 points for GG, 31 on Friday. So the final two games of his rookie campaign culminated in 75 points for GG Jackson. So hats off to him.
You could have an all South Carolina that is coming from the state of South Carolina backcourt when Ja Morant gets back next year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ja and Gigi, you think that wouldn't be a fun backcourt to watch?
They'd probably score 75 points a game combined.
They'll be playing in more relevant games than last night, not to take away anything from what Gigi did. But
no, you know, yeah.
Once teams have clinched or not clinched, there's a lot of teams that just sit. Luka didn't play his final game. He should win the MVP. Led the league in scoring, second in assists, but they just sat him. They just rest players. It's kind of like the final week of an NFL season when you've already clinched. To your point, there's not a lot of defense being played anyway, but then when you have that set up, there's like none. It's like everybody go out there, get your shots up, get your numbers. But no, he is he's going to be good for a long time in that league. I'm sorry it didn't work out better at South Carolina. I think it was a lot of immaturity, quite frankly. But he went back to see Lamont in practice. There's always going to be that bond there. There's always going to be that tie there. So 10 years from now, people won't remember that it didn't go great at South Carolina. But they'll remember he went there, and he'll always be a Gamecock, and he's got a chance to be something special at the NBA level.
There's no question. There's no question about that. Speaking of special, Mike, guys, it's still going to take some time, but not only can it happen, there's a real chance that this might happen. Ethan Petrie is well on his way to breaking the home run record that Justin Smoke set back in 2008 at South Carolina. And you don't ever want to count your eggs or chickens or before they hatch or whatever the phrase is. But here's the reality of it. After this weekend, he's hit 38 home runs, which ties him with Eric Stanton, another great former player who his final year in a Gamecock uniform was 1998. And whenever he hits his next two, he will become the 13th player ever to hit 40 home runs in a South Carolina uniform. We're just a little over halfway through his sophomore year. Justin, of course, has the all-time record at 62. And then behind Smoke, it takes a while to get there. Hank Small hit 48 back in the 70s. Garrett Carter in the 80s hit 47. Jeff Parnell hit 45 in the early 90s. He's followed by Landon, who hit 44 through 2004. Chris Boyle with 43. Disher hit 42. Pierce would have set the record. Pierce hit 42 in 2 years, 04 and 05. Darnell hit 41. Trip Kelly hit 41. And Charlie Aldrich hit 41 as well through his final year in 1987. And then there's Eric Stanton and now Ethan Petrie. And guys, he's going to start to pass. He's already begun to, of course. He's passed some outstanding names. He was tied with Derek Urquhart, Mike, who you've met, you know, Derek. And now he's passed Derek. He's already passed Ryan Bordenick. And next on the list is Charlie Aldrich, Trip Kelly, and James Darnell. I mean, this guy, you mentioned Charlie Condon earlier, and you're right. Charlie Condon and Jack Caglione are freaks. I mean, every single swing, you feel like the ball is about to leave the yard. That is incredibly rare. And this kid, he's not in that category yet, but he's getting pretty close. And next year, of course, he'll be a junior. And he'll be up there where Caglione is now and things of that nature. But it's really a neat thing to see here. This guy climbing the record books. It's not like he's hitting 250. You know, he's a 320, 330 hitter. It's pretty remarkable.
Muted, Mike.
You're muted, Mike.
I swear I didn't. I always feel obligated when we're talking. My back down? Okay. I need to send Shore an email.
Yeah, what's going on there?
Yeah.
He just got muted again. Did you? Is it muting on its own?
Well, there's a button to mute it.
Yeah, Mike, you're muted. Mute your mic or is the screen muted? There you go. Well, but we still can't.
Oh my gosh. Oh well. Ghost in the machine.
There is indeed.
I don't understand.
I don't either.
Test 1-2. Check 1-2.
Check.
Yeah, I'm confused as to what's going on. It looks like his mic is off. but he's unmuted on the screen, right, Phil?
That is correct.
Chet, make sure you're plugged in.
Now he's muted on the screen.
Yeah, there's something that's triggering that on his end. I don't know what it is.
Are we back?
Yeah,
we are back. We are back.
That was weird.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I don't know. I apologize. I was just going to say, I feel obligated to say when we're talking about the pantheon of great Gamecock sluggers, Steve Pierce had 42 home runs in 2 years. If he played a third, he'd own almost every Carolina record imaginable. Pierce and Smoke were the best two I ever saw. One of the most surreal moments was getting to call a Steve Pierce series in Pittsburgh when I was with the Braves and going to the Pirates clubhouse and just catching up with him. And then he wound up winning MVP of a World Series with the Red Sox. I don't know if that'll ever be trumped. That's pretty damn impressive. But Pierce was as good a raw hitter as I've ever seen in a Carolina uniform. He's just absolutely. But he only played 2 years. Now, if you projected 3 years, he would have had 65 home runs, give or take. He was insanely talented. One other thing, big wash, says Mike, Gigi's not a backcourt player. He's an athletic big. You're not wrong, and you're not completely right. It's positionless basketball for the most part, and he's not considered a big. You could best describe him as a small forward if you really want to tag a position to him, but he absolutely has the skill set to play two guard. And plays like a guard and at times is a backcourt player. But, yeah, you're not wrong what you're saying, but they'll list him as a forward. He's not a big, though. He doesn't play like a big. They don't post him up. He's a 6'9 swing guy is the best way I would put it. That could play in the two and the three, which makes it even more impressive at that size that he has the skill set of like a 6'4 guard. Mm-hmm. But there's not many 6'4 two guards left in the NBA. They're all taller and leaner and extremely athletic. Just take that for what it's worth.
Well, it's fair. Yeah, good point. Good point. Yeah, you had mentioned earlier about the Mike about people falling apart. I kind of stepped into John Whittle territory today and put a basically a halfway point synopsis up of South Carolina and in where they are halfway through league play. Cause it's very fair to me now to be able to start judging things. You mentioned Kentucky, people are like, oh man, look at the start they're off to. Let me correct that real quick. They're off to one of the best starts in the history of the league.
Yeah.
Like they're one win off of being perfect halfway through the league. You can't get any better than that. And although you can look at the Wildcats certainly and make the statement, and it's very fair that their most difficult stretch is ahead of them, and you'd be right about that because they've got the Vols and then they come to Columbia and then they've got the Razorbacks and they go to Florida and then they've got Vandy. Like that's very difficult. What they've gone through is Georgia at home, at Missouri, at Ole Miss, Alabama, at Auburn. Well, Missouri and Auburn aren't in the postseason. Ole Miss is a bubble team trying to get in, but wouldn't be in today. Alabama certainly is in and knocking on the door of hosting, and same thing with Georgia. With that said, we can't talk out of both sides of our mouth around here and tell you how difficult the league is and then not give credit to the Wildcats for managing a 14-1 record. So I'm going to give them every ounce of credit that they deserve. They've got the second best ERA in the conference, and in league play, they have the best batting average. And they could beat you in multiple waves. So, like, I'm gonna give them all the credit in the world. I think they're a real threat, and I think they can beat anybody that remains on their schedule soundly. I think 14-1 will uphold itself on the back end of this thing, though, with what's to come.
Yeah, I think the two most dreaded words after the Cal situation in the Kentucky vernacular are lifetime contract. I don't think that's going to happen again. But if Nick Mingione takes Kentucky to its first ever World Series, you might as well give him a lifetime contract. People have to understand just how bad Kentucky baseball was for a long, long time. He came in right out of the chute, took him to a super in year one. I think they lost to Louisville when Louisville was really at the top of their game. I've gotten to know Minge quite well over the years. He's an outstanding individual who knows the limitations of that job, how difficult it is. A couple years ago, there was a little buzz that he could get fired. He was on a hot seat. That's just the nature of the beast. And now back-to-back quality years, I don't think he's going anywhere, and nor should he.
No, they're really freaking good. I mean, it just is what it is. And this is going to be an incredible test when they come to town in a couple of weekends for the Gamecocks. But the Gamecocks, Mike, they're pretty good too. Here's the thing. They're back in the top 25. I'm a big D1 baseball guy, and I appreciate their rankings. They've got Carolina at 20. I think it's very fair. I'll tell you why. The metrics work in favor of Carolina. The metrics are there. They're a top 15 RPI team. They have the third most quad one wins in the country. They're 8-7 in league play in the most difficult league in the country. The conference RPI proves that. It's really the ACC is actually a little bit of a distant second. It's not as close as you would think. And they've managed to get through this halfway point. By the way, 16-14 in this league and winning all the games that they've won in non-conference, you're a host. Like you're going to be a top 16. So they have gotten there. You've got the eyeball, like we talk about basketball, right, guys? So you've got the eyeball test and then you got the paperwork, you got the metrics over here, you got the resume. The eyeball test is what is failing the Carolina from a ranking standpoint currently. And here's why. Because if you're watching the games, and the guys at D1 Baseball are very qualified to make any sort of judgment or determination on this group as much as anybody out there that covers the sport. Aaron Fitt is phenomenal. Kendall Rogers, those guys are really good. You get your ERAs over 6 in league play. Now they're not the only one. ERAs are up because the strike zone sucks. We already had this conversation earlier. But their ERA is up over 6 in league play. They're hitting below 200 with the bases loaded, and they're hitting 239 with runners on base. But they're winning games. Like, so if those numbers were just a little bit better, like if you were hitting 200 with the bases loaded and like 269 with runners on base, it's you're talking about apples and oranges here. So there's an eyeball test, and then there's a resume, and those two things are not quite equal, but the resume is super. And so these next couple of weeks, like they'll come to Charleston tomorrow night. Everybody should expect them to beat the Citadel. I do. They better. And that's the only quad four team left on this schedule. And then they go home and they've got number 6 in the RPI, and then they have number 4 in the RPI. And by the way, they're off between next weekend and Kentucky. Is that good? Is that bad? Probably not great for offensive guys who are getting into a groove, but for pitchers and not having to go out there and throw a bunch of dudes in the middle of the week, probably not a bad thing either. So it probably offsets itself a little bit. But you've got an incredible. I mean, you can't ask for anything more than this. The next couple of weeks to be able to start to separate themselves and cement themselves. There's still plenty of work to do after all that, of course, but separate themselves as a real, we are a host seed. It's going to take playing our way out instead of playing our way in.
Well, then the next 6 in conference are going to go along. I mean, you can't get swept by either one of these teams. I mean, ideally you split, and then Missouri is a great opportunity to go on the road. I know it's quirky to go out there. I'd rather go out there this time of year than early. They're not very good. Georgia at home. Georgia's good. Are they great? Should South Carolina beat them at home? Yeah. I think what you're looking for, JB, is an 11-4 second half SEC record.
Whoa.
They're 8-7 right now. They put them at 19-11.
11-4. You're be about the fourth seed in the tournament.
Ambitious.
So 3-3, and then, well, 10-5. All right. So, I don't have them winning the series in Knoxville. You split the next 6. Sweep Missouri, sweep Georgia, which can happen. We've seen Carolina, go through tough opponents, then it lightens up and they start sweeping people. Win your non-conferences, and it's what, 18 conference wins. I mean, everybody kind of freaked out at the beginning. I think it's the eyeball test, like you mentioned, but the record's just about the same as in some of the Tanner teams that advanced pretty far.
Yeah, I think if you can find your way to 9, if you can find your way to 9 and you're 17 and 13, you literally, when I say you got nothing to worry about, I mean, you got nothing to worry about. You're it's everything you want. They're probably at that point in time. Cause if you get to 9 just because of strength of schedule, you're not going to have any choice but to have so many quad one victories. You're without a doubt a top 16. You're knocking on the door of a top 8. I'll hold true what I've said before. I mean, 8 and 7, they're still going to be 16 and 14. Guys, they're hosting at that. So, but to your point, JC, not to throw water on what you were saying, I didn't mean it like that. I mean, they do have 9 games at home. Georgia is really, really good. Like, their RPI is 11th for a reason. Oh, they're really good.
I'm not saying they're not. I'm just saying this team has not played its best yet.
No. But they do a small smidgen more, which is basically doing what they're capable of doing, sky's the limit. I mean, I think John said it earlier, and I mentioned this too. I'd like to kind of see them settle some things down a little bit in the bullpen. Like, I felt like earlier in the year they kind of had a few more answers. Now that they've kind of changed the rotation a little bit, I think they're kind of trying to find their way around that again. And they've got the guys that can do it, but they just haven't quite gotten there, but they're there. So we just gotta see them get it done. But, yeah, I mean, six SEC teams are going to host for sure. Could there be 7? Yes, there could be, but 6 will host. Right now, I think Carolina would be 6th of that group.
I think it'd be great to get a super.
I'll second that. You know, it is weird. The home cooking has not gone as well as you would think. I think if you did like a 10-year case study on that and the top 8 national seeds, it's not as chalkish as you would think. In other words, the home team has lost a lot more than you would think. So you don't want to set up a scenario, well, Carolina doesn't host a super. Well, you know, it was a nice run, but we'll get waxed in the super. And no. Plenty of road teams win super regionals and get to Omaha. If you play, you're playing well at the right time, you can win anywhere in baseball.
I think it gets tough when it's an SEC opponent and you have to go on the road. The last two have been Arkansas and Florida. Of course, Oklahoma State came to Carolina and took care of them in the supers a few years back. But, I'm with you. I mean, you know, look at what was it? Gosh, Tennessee went to Clemson's regional last year. That was unfair. And I think UNC Charlotte actually put Clemson out. But Tennessee.
And that was a classic case of a team that underachieved in the regular season and then got over the hump, much like Florida State in their last year. And then it was like, so now you are underseeded in a way based on talent. And so that was bad news for Clemson, and then Tennessee wound up advancing. And those kind of stories, again, happen every year, just like to go back to our conversation a week ago. There are going to be a couple of SEC teams that are riding high right now, maybe Kentucky's one, that get humbled in the second half. And then there's going to be a couple that are flying under the radar that all of a sudden figure stuff out, and they go on a run. And there's a good chance Carolina might not be either one of those. They might go 8 and 7 again, finish 16 and 14. You know, nobody knows the answer to the, like, it's not like Carolina's got a bunch of a rash of injuries and they're just waiting for guys to get healthy. And then you'll really see this team you're already at full strength, essentially. You know, how are they all of a sudden going to, I think the schedule overall lightens up a bit compared to the first half. That was a pretty strong gauntlet first 15 for Carolina. I think, and this is kind of where JC was going. I mean, there's no gimmies in any series. It wouldn't surprise me if Missouri took a game, if Georgia took a game, but I'd rather play Missouri, Georgia than Tennessee, Arkansas. I realize Arkansas is coming up, but yeah, I mean, all those things will come into play. But I think the second half is a little lighter. And again, you hope that just guys that were slumping early figure it out. You hope that the pitching gets hot. You hope that guys that were not performing well all of a sudden do. A couple of teams, that will happen. A couple of teams will go in reverse, and then many will just kind of stay where they are. They'll be just like they were in the first half.
baseball is an ebb and flow season though normally, and so I think when you look at these last 15 conference games, it's probably a good thing to have it peaked because, you know, and who would have thought this, guys? All right, so if you'd have told me Carolina's 8-7 at the midway point of the SEC, I'd be like, okay, that's cool, probably. You know, well, what's the record against Vanderbilt in Florida? 5-1.
Yeah, right.
I mean, you know, like the two, arguably two of the most best programs in the conference the last 6-7 years. Well, they're 5-1 against those cats, but, you know, Ole Miss, Alabama, A&M, Ole Miss and Alabama are 3-6. That's kind of the thing I take away from it, too, against the good teams or the more talented teams on the schedule. You know, South Carolina's played pretty well. And I just don't see a lot of these guys continuing to slump like they are. I think eventually the runners in scoring position thing will fix itself. I think everybody thought Kingston was crazy for putting Messina at the top of the lineup, but lo and behold, there you go. And didn't John Whittle say the other day Messina's one of the fastest players on the team?
Yeah, he is. Sure? Yeah.
He can run? That's crazy.
Well, I sent y'all a screenshot this weekend of what I had sent Whittle last week, and I'm literally just laughing during the game. I'm like, you see, it's really not that difficult. You do these two things, and this is what will happen. And that's what good baseball teams do. They do those things, and they did. If they continue to do that, they're going to win a bunch of games.
Jamie's being modest. He absolutely nailed it. Like, he absolutely,
I didn't get a screenshot.
Like, had the prescription.
Am I not special? I don't think so.
He was the doctor. He was the prescription. He wrote it in Latin. It came down from God to goes from God to Bradford to Tommy Lasorda. Well, I guess it had to go to Lasorda before Bradford now, but God to Tommy Lasorda to Bradford to the staff, and then Messina's ripping the cover off the ball as a leadoff hitter, and
it
runs like a gazelle out there, fastest running catcher.
What I had said was, they've got to get back to hitting the ball back up the middle in hitters counts and seeing multiple pitches with two strikes. Like, essentially what I was saying was, quit trying to do too much when you've got a favorable count, and don't go down easy. Battle. Put the ball in play.
Yeah.
And this weekend, you know, they did a lot of that. They were multiple times driving the ball back up the middle. When you do that, you're going to hit gaps. It's going to happen. I mean, everybody knows that. If you're a baseball guy, you get it. You know, if your focus is on hitting the ball back up the middle, just from a timing standpoint, you're going to drive the ball out of the yard and you're going to hit the ball into the gaps. That's the way it works. And then if you just battle with two strikes and put pressure on somebody, at some point in time, you're going to get a mistake. And that happened a lot this weekend, and that they were able to capitalize on that.
Florida, something's up at Florida right now.
They're just not good. That's what's up. They're not good. They're probably not going to the postseason.
Yesterday, you saw what they're capable of if they get clicking.
I mean, yeah.
They have players on paper. Their defense wasn't that good. They didn't play very – I got kind of got up off the mat on Saturday and got some momentum back. But, yeah, they just don't look very – that looks nothing like the Florida team.
You know what they look like? They look like a team that came into the season that was relying on like three players. Like, no problem. Caglione will get it done. And then everybody else is like, well, you know, he only hits once through the lineup, right? Like, you have to go eight players and he's going to get to hit again. Like, one of y'all's going to have to do something.
I have to laugh because in addition to these shows, which I love doing, I go on once a week on a Georgia show and I go on once a week on a Florida show. And on the Florida show, there's a chat box just like we have here. And there are people ripping O'Sullivan.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Just like, you're not doing this. You're not doing that. Like, dude,
do you remember what you were before Sully?
Yeah, terrible.
You weren't winning a lot of championships, you know? You just weren't. But what happened was he goes right out of the gate, and they're like going to Omaha every year, like 5 years in a row. And, of course, they finally get over the hump and win one national championship, which hadn't been done. And so now they're not as dominating. Yeah. Whatever formula, whatever buttons he was pushing, I mean, they're still getting some studs in there, but they're not as dominating as years past. and it just made the national championship series. But they think it's their birthright now to go to Omaha every year. Much like, does it sound like a familiar fan base guy?
The rest of the SEC?
A lot of it. I mean, a lot of it.
Think, what do you think people are saying in Baton Rouge right now? They're 3-12 in the league.
What do you think they're saying in Oxford? They're saying, I told you we should have fired Bianchi. Okay, he won a national title, but look at what he's done 5 out of the last 6 years. Fire his ass. Like, that's where
let's
they are.
Let Kim Mulkey coach the baseball team.
Kim Mulkey. Right.
I bet she'll do better.
She'll wear a peacock hat instead of a ball cap, but we need that around here.
Need that kind of pageantry. It's LSU. Cajun. All
it's
wide.
Intimidating. Okay. You
I'm
wear one
this
of them
right now. If Kim Mulkey were coaching baseball, we go 56-0 every year.
Yeah.
Kim Mulkey, she's never going to lose. She's not a loser. Go Tigers.
The SEC,
look,
man.
Yeah. So I got to answer, Jan. Somebody's got to. I can't answer because I don't know.
Oh, sure. Yeah. The shift. Yeah,
this shift thing, it's very interesting to me. And it's one of the few times I'm looking forward to hearing. Not that I don't look forward to your answers, but you know, I'm like, I'm a fan.
Yeah.
You're waiting for what you guys.
One of the few times I want to hear you guys speak.
I'm like, I would turn on the radio for this.
I'll shut up and listen.
He's going to hang up and listen to the call off air.
Yeah.
I'll hang up and listen. Enjoy what you do, except for you, Jamie, 90% of the time.
Yeah, man, you'll do a great job, but
pretty much
Jamie,
fat.
It's one of the few times I really give a damn what you've got to say for it. I tell you what we'll do. We got to hit a timeout, so we'll hit a timeout, and then I'll make JC's week when we return right here on Inside the Gamecocks, the show.
I said, oh, Lord Jesus, it's a fire. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Disaster comes uninformed. During and after natural disasters or accidents, there can be a heavy loss to property. Having your home or office destroyed or damaged by water, fire, smoke, or mold affects your personal and business lifestyle. Resto Pros of the Midlands is here to help. Open 24/7. Call them when you need them. 803-493-0170. Resto Pros of the Midlands. RestoProsMidlandsSC.com. Quality that is guaranteed.
Down here in the South, we don't always see eye to eye. While our taste in college football teams or what sauce, if any, goes best on a rack of ribs or what to mix with our Dixie vodka might be up for debate, we can all agree there's nothing better than a Southern tailgate. And like our favorite college teams, our ingredients come from small towns and big cities. They're grown in Southern soil, are crafted by Southern hands, and proudly represent the South in our backyard and beyond. So raise a glass of Dixie Southern Vodka to celebrate being made in America and raised in the South.
Welcome home. That's what the Gamecocks say, and so does the Barn Dough Company, where they can build your dream home starting as low as $160 per square foot. If you live in the Carolinas, Georgia, or Tennessee, their turnkey process takes just 4 to 6 months on average and can be custom designed by size and details. Make your dream a reality. Visit thebarndominiumco.com. That's thebarndominiumco.com. The Barn Dough Company. Gamecock, owned and operated.
When you're a developmental program, which all Group of Five schools are, and you lose a great player, that's going to hit you much harder with that next guy plugging in because he's not there yet. He may be there. He's just not there right now.
I just recently reported about, you know, the heart issue that, ultimately let a Big Ten stop and originally decided not to play football. And we had reported out that story, kind of unearthing that it was because of the heart issue, potentially with
is that myocarditis?
Myocarditis.
I still had 10 scholarship offers because Chase would go play baseball and I would get a lion's share of the reps in the spring and they're like, who's this number 17? He's pretty good.
Listen to these interviews and more on the JC and Morgan podcast by downloading the Chief Sports app. Part of the Chief Sports Network.
Chicken cock originated in Kentucky, like so many other bourbons. And so the resurrection of it, you know, Paris, Kentucky, that's the county seat of Bourbon County. So much of this whiskey was being made in that Bourbon County, put on ships and barges and shipped down Ohio, down the Mississippi, and got to New Orleans, where it got distributed all over the world. And people kept saying, well, hey, I want some more of that whiskey from Bourbon County. And so that's how bourbon whiskey got its name. And Chicken Cock originated actually in Paris, Kentucky, which is today Bourbon County.
Welcome to Palm Casual Patio Furniture. Because we are the factory, Palm Casual has the ability to offer the highest quality outdoor furniture paired with world-class service. Since 1979, our factory showrooms have done our best to make the buying process as easy as possible for our customers. Our understanding of the many factors that go into your decision has helped us create our 30-day trial period that increases the level of comfort our customers feel during the shopping experience. Visit us in Somerville, Mount Pleasant, Myrtle Beach, and Bluffton, and online at palmcasual.com for our products and out-of-state locations. Gamecock owned and operated.
Building your dream home is often just that, a dream, and sometimes a nightmare. But at the Barn Door Company, they commit to quality and build without sacrifice. Customization, open floor plans, limitless flooring options, maintenance-free and easy insulation perks, and affordability are just a few reasons why they've been named one of the best builders in the U.S. Believe in your dreams. Visit thebarndominiumco.com. That's thebarndominiumco.com. The Barn Door Company. Gamecock owned, Gamecock operated. The preferred sign partner of Gamecock Athletics is Signorama Columbia, and they should be yours too. A full-service sign company that handles design, production, install, and service, Signorama Columbia has helped to bring to life the perfect vision for so many all across South Carolina. Owned and operated by proud Gamecock alumni, they can handle all types of signage, including interior and exterior, vehicle graphics, and more. Go to Signorama.com and find the West Columbia location, or call them at 803-407-9284. Bring your brand to life with Signorama Columbia, and go Gamecocks.
Hey Gamecock fans, this is Roman Kimball with South Carolina Baseball. My friends over at Electric Bikes of Charleston have the largest selection of e-bikes in South Carolina. You can cruise up to high speeds of 28 miles per hour, which is about 70 miles an hour slower than my fastball. Stay in shape and enjoy your life with an electric bike from Electric Bikes of Charleston, where buyers come from all across South Carolina. Visit electricbikescharleston.com. See you at the ballpark, and go Gamecocks.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
What's up to the best fans in the country? This is Eli Jones, and you're tuned in to Inside the Gamecocks, the show. Go Cocks.
We'll be right back.
at 1:45, just to let all three of you know, we'll be doing burgers on the grill tonight, sitting on our very comfortable Palm Casual furniture. So thanks to Aaron and the team at Palm Casual for making our backyard the place to be. Spring, summer, fall, winter too, but it's they can't control the weather. But, you know, winter in South Carolina, it could be 70. So we're very happy to have a place we like to spend time in out there.
Are we invited?
You're always invited. You and Summer can come anytime. We have plenty of room. All right. The rule in our house is, just to kind of, you know, we like to throw folks right into the fire. So your first morning here, you will be woken up by our kids right around 6:30. We will, though, supply breakfast, but you will have to get up at 6:30 and do a puzzle or maybe shoot some basketball with them.
Well, I'm up for that.
Yeah, you know, something like that. And then after that, day two, you can sleep in all you want.
Okay. Summer's great with the kids. I'll hoop it up with them.
Yeah. Or you can just tell them what I tell them, like, get the hell out of here.
Yeah, get out of here.
You know, no.
I'm chilling on the Palm Casual patio furniture. I don't have time for your games right now. So.
Honestly, I've thought about sleeping out there a couple of times because then they won't be able to find me.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Yeah, how effective would sleeping on the furniture be out there?
You only find mom, and that's what I'm more after that. So,
how many locations for that Palm Casual?
Four in South Carolina. Yeah, Myrtle Beach, Bluffton, Somerville, Mount Pleasant. But
love it.
People come from everywhere for a reason. Number one, they're Gamecock owned and operated, but the 30-day guarantee is what gets them. Real quick on the shift. So I'm a believer in the shift. It gets exposed when it doesn't work well. Everybody blames the shift. I would remind, and this isn't directed at Jan specifically. That's one. Jan's my guy. I love Jan. Carolina would have lost the game Saturday had it not been for the shift. So, you know, Jack Caglione hit right into it twice. Their numbers. Monty's the shift guy for Carolina. Their numbers on that are unreal. Used to not be a huge believer in it, but they've since then really kind of increased how they do it as far as the information that they use. And so that one or two that get through the shift that burn you, generally because it's a negative world, that takes over the conversation.
Right, right.
But the other eight times, nobody talks about it because it worked out.
I couldn't agree more. And that's why do you think they outlawed it in Major League Baseball? Because it's that damn effective. It was really too effective. So if it's playing mind tricks on Major League hitters, what do you think it's doing to college kids?
Right.
But they're not outlawing it in college baseball anytime soon. So I'm all for it. I mean, I've worked for years with Todd Walker, who is a Hall of Fame college baseball player, played 15 years in the bigs. And every time we work together, He hates the shift. I think because deep down he knows he would have hated when he had to face it.
Yeah.
And so when a guy
hates it too. Hates
it. When a guy hits against the shift and gets a base hit, I know exactly what Todd's going to say. Well, there it is, Mike. Another case where the shift burns a pitching and a defense. But I'm with you. For more often than not, tendencies work in baseball. We don't live in a day and time where guys go out of their way to choke up and go the opposite way or drop down a bunt. Guys just, they're one trick ponies. I mean, I hate to put it that bluntly, you know, they might make adjustments somewhat, but not that dramatically. That just, there's not many of those guys left
in
college game.
There's not a shift on every single hitter. I mean, there might be, you might shade a guy on hitters, but that's been around for years.
Sure.
I mean, for decades.
And that's still legal in the bigs, too. You can shade. You can shade.
Yeah, that's always been here. You know, but if every single hitter was shifted, I mean, the guys, that, as you just pointed out, the guys that can, you know, that swing the bat well, that can make a bunch of adjustments, they're not seeing all that stuff. So it's the guys offensively, like if you're a one or two dimensional hitter and they shift it against you, I'm sorry, but that's on you.
I agree. But I mean, like you take a guy like Freddie Freeman can hit the ball anywhere. He's a machine.
Yeah.
But most guys, even at the big league level, particularly lefties that are just dead pull hitters. They don't make the adjustments. And offense was already suffering in Major League Baseball. Strikeouts were up. Offense was down. I agree with almost every change that they made. The bags being bigger, bringing stolen bases back in, the pitch clock, although now you have a lot of Major League arms that you have players saying the reason why injuries are up on pitchers is because they're being forced to throw the ball to the plate quicker. So less recovery. Now, I don't know what the science is behind that. I honestly think the bigger factor is, and I've talked to several former major leaguers on this, is that it's simply everybody is maxing out on far too many pitches. These kids grow up in travel ball throwing too many pitches, and then they get to the higher levels and they all just pitch to the radar gun. Every ballpark now in college, with few exceptions, if I want to find how what my velo was on the pitch, I can look at the scoreboard and find it.
Yeah.
Right? If I don't have it, I'm going to go back to the dugout. I'm going to get it. They are obsessed with it because they know the scouts are obsessed with it. So you're going max, 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 and the arm is just not built that way. The best analogy I heard was we now are in a time in pitching where it's like you have a souped-up engine. You've never had a stronger engine, but you've got the same chassis in the car. The car can't handle that much speed, and so the car is fishtailing and it's out of control. I'm afraid that this is not getting any better anytime soon. You know, we mentioned Strider in the last hour. Well, that's the second time now. So I don't know if he's ever going to be the same. It's not uncommon to go to a college staff and look at the dozen or so pitchers, and over half of them have already had Tommy John, and they're like 20 years old. If this was any other sport and any other situations, there'd be more of a battle cry, like, we've got to do something to change this.
Yeah.
But nothing's done. Nothing's done. We just keep having them pitch in the red. We're a race car in the red, to use a Pulp Fiction line.
I'd cut the gun off on the board. So what? Because the fan. Oh, I want to know how hard he's throwing. Who cares?
And I'll say
about that. They aren't going to come to the game because of it. No.
No. And I'll admit, as an announcer, it helps me. If I know what the velo is, you know, we're not exactly right there at home plate, so it helps identifying pitches. It helps knowing if a guy's running out of gas. I mean, I think we're just at a point in time now at major league parks and some college. It's not just the velo. It tells you fastball,
spin rate,
launch angle. I mean, everything. We are in a day and age of where the analytics, you don't have to go to the website to get it. It's on the scoreboard, and fans have gotten used to that and they want it. They expect it. So I don't know if it's by the way, the baseball bunch, yes, Craig, I watched it when I was a kid. I preferred This Week in Baseball with Mel Allen. The baseball bunch was kind of a hokey show for kids with the chicken and Johnny Bench. And, yeah, Lasorda was on it from time to time. I liked – again, I was a weird kid. I wasn't watching cartoons. I'd go home and watch This Week in the NFL or NFL's Greatest Films when I was, like, seven. So I liked the more professional show. Like This Week in Baseball, and some of those. But if you like, you know, good old fashioned kid fun with a chicken, then yeah, This Week in Baseball was your call. those are tough decisions we all had to make as kids. Another one you have to make is finding the right insurance agent. Let me suggest Gary Patterson of State Farm. Speaking of South Carolinians, a long time in Lugolf. If you're in the Midlands, from Lugolf to Columbia, Lexington to Camden to Blythewood, he's your guy. He's been my guy for over 20 years. And again, I've had great experiences through Gary, and I've had nightmare experiences through other companies. But with State Farm agent Gary Patterson, it's easy to make the right choice. So just call him today. See the number on your screen for our vast YouTube audience, or you can go to GaryPatterson.net for more information.
It's 1:53, so we are set to get out of here in just a little bit. No way could Pat. Somebody's calling me. Let's see. Oh, potential spam. Probably want another cruise. I've had some guy calling me for like 3 weeks. I've told him 15 times. He keeps wanting me to make a payment on my shed. I'm like, dude, I don't own a shed. So you got the wrong number. He keeps calling.
I no keep way people would. Wanting to sell me solar panels, which somebody out there in the closing 7 minutes of our show, can you hit me up in chat row? Is it worth getting solar panels? Good and bad. I need to know. Okay.
Not where you live, Mike, in the woods. You're not going to be able to generate enough power.
Well, it's got to be sun. How much sunlight does your roof get?
There's a certain part of it that actually gets a lot. Mm-hmm. There's a certain part of it because I have the utility bills to prove it. The sun beats down that the near the creek. JC's been to my Atlanta home. Near the creek, you could justify it. Mm-hmm. And it's like $30,000 paid over 25 years with a $9,000 tax credit. But I just feel like there's some fine print there. Mm. You know, they sell you on eventually you have like no utility bill. You're paying zero. Wow.
It's funny. We get a guy in our HOA who comes to the meetings every year and complains about it because he was like, you don't understand how much structural integrity the roof gives when you put all that weight on top of it and add all those holes. You should hear, of course, he's, 70 years old and has been Christian all
structural
his life.
Integrity.
Everything. Yeah.
Structural integrity.
Structural
integrity. Will the Gamecock offensive line have structural integrity this year, JC? People want to know.
At some point,
is it more structural integrity than a blazing fastballer?
No kidding on that. Now, I kind of spent the weekend chopping up some clips from the show and spent a lot of time with what John Strickland was saying last week, and it makes sense because it's like, you got a lot of new players, you got a lot of young players, you're putting in a new run game. There's going to be a lot of assignment errors and things of that nature. And my understanding was that first scrimmage, that was part of the reason they look so bad. Plus, you're trying to find your best five. You're plugging and playing guys. And then you look on the other side of the ball, and there's a lot of veterans that have been at South Carolina for a while, and then a lot of guys that transferred in that have played 2, 3, 4 years of college football. Mm-hmm. It's got to be kind of a tough matchup, I think. If you put it in perspective, yes, they have to get better up front, and I can't answer that with any kind of certainty, except if they avoid injuries, there's no excuse why they can't be better than last year, which I don't know where that gets you, because it was rock bottom almost last season. So there you go. I don't want to put solar panels on my roof because the governor wants to – he's all about solar, and I hate him. So I'm just assumed double down on the natural gas.
I think your mayor, the way he would weigh it is, well, how would that help the criminals that rob and shoot people in various parts of Chicago? If so, he's all for it and have the government pay for it. It looks like solar panels, according to Quantrell, Charles, Clint, they're all anti-solar panels. So I'm going to have them talk to this sales guy.
Ashley said he's convinced that those are the same people that sold rainbow vacuums.
Rainbow vacuums.
I inherited a rainbow, and it works very well. My little R2 unit, it does a very good job. But if you just want to kill that hot spot on your roof, Mike, it'd probably be a lot cheaper just to plant a big ass tree.
It would take quite a few of them.
Mike's got big trees as it is, though.
Yeah, it's just the angle that there's once 1 o'clock on hits, that side of the house just gets melted. It would take more than one tree.
It would take a
family of sequoias to block that out. And I'm not prepared to purchase a family of sequoias.
Oh, man.
Hey, can I mention real quick, JC mentioned earlier, we've had from Josh Pate to Ross Dellinger to Andy Staples to Tom Luganville to Barrett Salee to
Tim Brando.
Dan Wetzel, Tim Brando. We've been on the national pundit fire stream. Back tomorrow morning live. For those of you on the Chief Sports app, you'll get the handy dandy reminder. We'll start at around 9:15, wheels up at 9:20. And at 10 o'clock, Mike Griffith will join us. Now, who is Mike Griffith? If you watch Fox, you've probably seen him on there a lot. He covers Georgia, used to cover Tennessee. And he's very controversial, I would say. I mean, Feinbaum and the fans there, they grill him all the time. But I like him. I think he does a good job. He covers the sport well. He's very opinionated. And of course, he's been covering the most successful program over the last, I don't know, take your time frame pick, 5 years, 10 years, whatever, in Georgia. So he'll be on, and we'll talk some big picture stuff with him as well, but that'll be on tomorrow's JC and Morgan as in addition to the award-winning JC5.
Exactly. And Quantrill, you, when we had Wetzel, and you're like somebody from outside of the South. Griffith has spent his career in the South.
Yes.
Georgia, covered Tennessee and Georgia. He's a Michigan guy. He's a Michigan State graduate.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. Oh.
So he's what we call a Yankee down south. He's from the Midwest.
He doesn't sound very Yankee.
Because he had me on his show one time.
We talked. Okay.
I know him a little bit. I know him. Yeah. Maybe he called and interviewed me for a newspaper article or something. I don't know. But really good writer, and it's really good to have him on. Is he on with – yeah, he's on with Bill King weekly like I am. So he's part of the – it's part of the Bill King Club out of Nashville.
JC, what do you think is going to happen with this Lenoris Sellers? I mean, yeah, he's good, but he doesn't have the experience, does he?
I love Bill.
Bill's classic.
There is an episode with Bill King on JC.
Yes.
What we call not Evergreen.
If you folks out there can think of somebody we haven't had on that you want on, let me know. Let me know. We've had a heck of a cavalcade of
had a run. Yes.
Yeah, we've had a good run. And then you hear JC and I babbling as well. But I like to think of it as good babble.
Good babble.
Insightful babble.
Yeah.
Measured babble. Consider
upper Midwesterners Yankees.
Not really.
My dad thought they were.
I don't know.
I don't look around here and go, you're a bunch of Yankees. A bunch of y'all.
Ohio and West, I think you kind of dropped that.
Ray Tanna let the Yankees come down here and take over our school. That Mark Kingston, he is not a Southern man.
By the way, speaking of Coach Kingston, he's going to join us later on in the week.
Hey!
That's okay.
Awesome. Yeah, Charles Power would be good to have, old J.C. Morgan Krieger says. That's good to have King back on, too. I'm glad we get him, after a 4-1 week.
Regardless of the record, the whole thing was to get him on after halfway through the regular or the league play.
I know, but I still like to. I still like to talk to people when they're kind of on a little more chipper. You know, it just makes my job.
Oh, he's always chipper for us.
Amen.
Looking forward to that.
All right. I'll have to load up my new edition in the music there.
Yeah, get new edition ready.
A new edition ready.
Mr. Telephone Man. That's a dimer.
Yeah. I'm not gonna let him get off of that new edition thing. That was pretty poor.
No, it was too good.
Dang, bad taste of music, man. Yeah. Speaking of Yankees.
What Christmas music do you listen to? Well, I like the new edition Christmas album.
New edition. I was like, geez, do you listen to Wham too, Mark?
I got one already in there.
Man, come on, Wham. Mm-mm. There's some Wham that I can get behind, right?
Yeah, but not Last Christmas.
No, never.
You see the documentary on him, on George Michael? I think it's on Netflix.
No.
I learned a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually.
I'm never going to dance again.
My wife is thrilled with me.
You've got no rhythm.
That's right.
Yeah. My wife was thrilled with me because I taught my 5-year-old girls to change the words from Last Christmas I Gave You My Heart to Last Christmas I Gave You My Fart.
Okay.
I put it in a stocking for you. Here you go. Oh, sniff it away.
Was like, you gotta be kidding me. I was
Yuletide.
Like, what? Me?
There's a Yuletide log in there for you too, Daddy.
All right. For
Andrew Ridgely, that's the other guy from Web. Michael Haney reminded me the other day in a conversation when I moved companies, because the Gamecocks moved companies in Columbia, so I had to move with them if I was going to keep calling games. They partnered me up with Jay Phillips. I didn't know this guy from Adam. He'd never done sports talk radio. And Michael was producing, and he reminded me that I used to call him the other guy from Wham, the Pat Sajak of sports talk radio, and Rosie O'Donnell's personal hairdresser.
Oh,
Oh gosh.
We had fun. You know, I mean,
that's fun. Yeah,
yeah, it's just fun. I don't know if he found it funny, but damn if I didn't.
I mean, you know, sometimes the target is not the intended audience. You know.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, it was a very interesting growing process.
We should probably go.
The other guy from Wham and the Pat Sajak of Sports Talk Radio.
Or Mad Dog's mustache. The golden tones of Mike Morgan. Titanic's biggest fan, J.C. Sherbert.
Oh, and talk Titanic.
Whittle. We'll be back tomorrow.
It was National Titanic Remembrance Day. Remembrance Day.
Yeah.
So, there you go, Jack. Frozen Jack.
Hale will be here tomorrow.
I'll never let go.
I'll never forget.
We figured that out. Hale will join us tomorrow with a full. I'm having a hard time thinking about what I'm about to say with this cat in my ear. Hale will have a full scoop on the weekend recruiting efforts of the Gamecocks at the spring game. We got to go. Bye. See you tomorrow.